Chris. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for loving us, Lord. We thank you for just being being God so we don't have to be. It's really hard sometimes when we hear something like what Ellie was just talking about, and it's just a tragedy. Lord, we a lot of times want to ask why. We don't understand the circumstances, Lord, but we know you do. We can trust in you even through a hard time. I do pray for this young man's family. It's just, I can't even imagine. I pray for Ben, as I know, you know, his heart is tender, and you know, just being there, that's just a hard thing. So I pray that that this wouldn't shake any of their faith as they all trust in you, Lord. And I just pray that you would somehow use something like this for your good, just to get the gospel where it needs to go to somebody. And so, Lord, I pray for today. I pray for your word. This is a really important topic we're going to hit on today, and I honestly don't feel like I'm completely equipped to teach it. This is something that I've always just kind of tried to wrap my head around, and here we are, Lord. So I pray that you would just make it clear to us, allow me to speak clearly, remove me from the way, because there's a lot of my own personal feelings and thoughts that get intertwined with these things. And so I pray that these would just be your thoughts. There's a lot here. There's no way we're going to get through it, Lord. And so I pray that you would just supernaturally relay the information that you would have for us, and that the rest of it would just fall by the wayside because it's not important anyway. So, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today. I pray for the events we have coming up, all the things that are happening at HBF. We're a busy church. We're busy about you. And so I pray that we're focused and that we're sold out, that we're not apathetic, that we're not half in and half out. But Lord, we're just we're really charging hell with a squirt gun until you call us home. So I pray that you would just bless today in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Miss Abigail, how are you? I'm doing great. What up? Get in here. I always know that, like, I can either pray at 9:30 or I can pray at 9:40. People will not show up until after I pray. That's just how it works. So, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, because most of the people were already here. That's not a slight to anybody who was here. I totally understand what it's like. We set up a pizza pickup because we realized, oh wow, we forgot to sign up for breakfast. And I'm like, oh, surely we can pick it up at 8:45. Yeah, right. And so anyway, it's all good. Okay, so if you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 16. And I don't know how to even start this. This is a huge topic. There's a lot of layers to this. I'll throw that out there. And so I'm going to do my best to take all personality out of this and just teach the Word of God. So this is something that that I've really tried to grasp. So as you grow in your Christian life, a lot of times you think you start to grab a hold of certain things. And certain things you're like, I can explain that well. And there's other things that it's like, I know what that is, but I just figuring out how to just put my finger on it and explain it and articulate it to where people can understand, especially somebody who is in my shoes, who people expect to know the answer. And, you know, people think, well, just tell me what I should do. And then you get put in a situation or situations through life where it's like, oh, well, you should just do what you know. And it's like, but I don't really know that I know, or I don't. It's hard to explain. So anyway, we'll get there. So I'll say this before we even get going. I sat down and tried to start working on. I've been meditating on this one for a hot minute. I knew last week when we dabbled into Acts chapter 16 at the beginning, I wasn't even going to touch anything past verse 5. There was no way after, you know, kind of what we talked about last week. And so, but here we are, inevitably through God's great coincidence, because that's how he works. I'm totally lying, by the way. God does not work through coincidences. It's always... anyway, we've been going through the book of Acts for probably a year and a half now, and we just so happen to land in this chapter for such a time as this, if you wanted to use the phrase from the book of Esther. So anyway, I have a lot of notes, and I was like, okay, well, I can divide it into two. I've got 14 pages of notes, and that's for the first 3 of 7 points. So I hope that by the end of next week we can get there. And here's, again, I'm going to take personal situations out, and I really want to know God's heart on this. And because this is something that every Christian will come across, will struggle with, will wrestle with at some point, if you haven't already in your Christian life. And so let's just jump right in. So how did we get here in the first place? So, Paul splits with Barney at the end of chapter 15, right? The contention was so sharp between them over John Mark that they're like, we just can't do this anymore. So Barnabas takes John Mark, and they go one way, and Paul says, that's fine, I'll take Silas with me, and we're going to go, and we're just going to check on the churches, and we're just going to go do what God's called me to do. And it's easy to rest in doing what God has called you to do. There's peace, by the way, in knowing what God has told you to do and just knowing that I'm going to do that. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to question. As a wife, I've never been a wife, by the way. But as a wife, there should be, in a healthy marriage, there should be comfort in knowing I can just take peace in knowing if I just submit and obey to my husband. Now, I understand that's really hard to do, ladies, because we're idiots, by the way. But if I just do that, there's comfort, there's peace, there's protection in that. And so the same thing goes, and that's just a practical example, the same thing goes with knowing what it is that God has called you to do. And past point, we've been talking about for years, everybody be. Just be what it is that God's called you to be. And so there's comfort and peace in just knowing, like, this is what God's told me to do. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go at it, as hard as I can. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm just going to do it. And so there's peace in that. And so that's what Paul's doing. He knows what he is saved to do. He was saved out of something that was so crazy that he knows that, well, for me, I'm going to go, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to, evangelize. I'm going to get as many people saved and trained up as I can. And we should have peace in the same thing. Okay, so that's where Paul's at. So he takes Silas. He begins his second trip. So just a couple facts on his second trip. I threw a map in there just because you could not even look at it. But for me, as I'm going through this chapter and there's like tons of places, I'm like, I got to figure out how this pieces together. I was really trying to get this. And so we'll get there. But just if you're wondering, like, why does he have a handout, one? And two, like, why is there a map on it? And for one, you guys know I'm not a math major, but geography, that's close second to. Now, if I've been there once, I could get you there. But as far as somewhere I've never been, it's really hard to understand. So anyway, there's a map there. So anyway, on this second trip, there's a few things that happen with Paul. And there's a few people that he meets along the way that are good to know about. So obviously, we talked last week about him meeting Timothy. And he basically, grabs Timmy and he takes him and he's going to, now train him up. And we understand that, like, hey, he's going to do something with this guy. And he's faithful. And so he meets Timothy in chapter 16 at the beginning. He'll eventually meet Luke later on in what we're going to talk about even today. If you're wondering where, it's really cool. I had to kind of study this out a little bit, but if you look at verses 1 to 9, so Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts, by the way. He penned the book of Acts. And so in verses 1 to 9, if you look at the way that he writes it, it's always they, them. And then when you get to verse 10, just fast forward there real quick. In verse 8, and they passing by, they came down to Troas. And in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, come over in Macedonia and help us. And in verse 10, he said, and he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored. Everything after verse 10 is personal. Now he's with them. And so it's no different than, like, if you weren't with somebody and then you were with them, you would change the way that you talk. And so he eventually meets Luke on this trip. Later on in the book, he meets Aquila and Priscilla, some really fantastic people to do a study on if you're married and what ministry should look like. But anyway, those are some things that happen on this trip. And so today in chapter 16, we're going to start to see how, if you're looking for a title, how we can understand the call. You don't need to look for a title because it's on your paper. Okay, so this was before I thought I was going to have a handout. So we have to understand the call. So let's just start with this, even though we're already 10 minutes into this. Let's start here. Have you ever asked some form of this question in your life? Now, not to God, but just to yourself or just to the atmosphere. I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do about you fill in the blank. I just wish that I had direction on XYZ. I wish I knew what God's plan was for my life, right? His actual plan for me. Because we talk about that all the time. The will of God, the plan of God, the plan of God is separate for everybody. The will of God's the same. And so I just wish I understood and I knew and I had peace and I didn't have to question, what is it that God's plan is for me? I just wish I knew. Anybody else ever had to ask that question? I mean, I've asked that question a lot in my life. You know, God presents new opportunities and you're just like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I remember back when I thought that God was leading our family to London and it would have been a good thing. You know, there was work for us there to do. There was an open door. And it was like, God, well, what are we supposed to do? And it was through that, asking that question, that he was like, well, that's not what you're supposed to do, at least not right now. And that was hard. And so you go through all that. And so teaching point number one, you will never fully understand the plan of God for your life without first hearing and understanding the call of God in your life. And there's something to that. And we're going to talk a lot about the will, the plan, the call, and how they intertwine, because then none of them are the same. Okay? But you will never fully understand the plan of God for your life without first hearing and understanding the call of God. It's one thing to hear the call of God, but you got to understand it. You've got to make some sort of sense of it. And to complicate things even more, by the way, because if you're like, well, that didn't really help me understand what I'm supposed to be doing. Teaching point number two, the call of God, revealing the plan of God, will not come to someone who's not living in the will of God. Now let me say that again, because that might sound confusing. The call that you're waiting for to just give you the answer for the plan, it's not going to come if you're not living in the will. It just won't. You'll just be out there in limbo. It just will not. And so, if hearing those things, you're like me, and you hear all this, and you start to think, the plan of God for my life, it must be like the eighth mystery of the New Testament. Because how am I supposed to discern this? Like, am I supposed to stay? Am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to serve here? Am I supposed to serve there? Am I supposed to, you know, and I'm not even talking about relevant things right now. I'm just talking about, in general, what is it that God is telling me in my life to do? Because all I want to do is be in the center of His will. And that's a really good place to be, by the way. But His will might be in multiple places. The question is, where's the plan taking you? The question is, what is His plan? Because it's, let me just say, it might not be for everybody. But for somebody who is sold out, and for somebody who has decided, like, I'm following Jesus. There is no going back. I'm past the point of no return. That there is no question. Living in the will of God isn't hard. Now, there are some Christians that struggle living in the will of God day in and day out. And I get it. Like, the flesh is wicked. All the, like, the world is hard. I'm just saying, like, me personally, and I don't mean this to puff myself out, me personally, living in the will of God isn't hard to do. I know what the Word of God says. I know how to suffer my flesh most of the time. Not that I'm perfect by any means. I still sin all the time. But figuring out, like, where to live in the will of God, well, that's where the plan comes in. And that's where it gets a little more muddy. And that's where the call comes into play. So let's clarify some things before we just jump into this, okay? So before we just jump into, like, the deep understanding of what exactly is happening in chapter 16 and what's going on, let's just clarify some things. So what's the will of God in my life? And we've talked about this a lot of times in the past point. I don't want to spend a ton of time here, right? But just in case somebody may have missed it or somebody is still a little bit uncertain, let's just clarify this. So if you're lost, the will of God for your life is to get saved, and that's it. If you're a lost person, the only will of God for your life is to be saved. It's not to be better at this or better at that, to be a better mom or husband or wife or whatever it is for you. It's not that. It's to get saved. Because you'll never be in the will of God if you're not saved. Okay. Now, you guys are here at 9 something on Sunday morning. You're faithful. I'm guessing most of us in here, all of us in here probably, are born again. So, the will of God for your life has now changed. Because you're saved, it doesn't mean you've arrived. You are saved, by the way, as saved as you'll ever be. You can't lose it. But for saved people, it is simply to be sanctified. Now, I say that a lot of times, and so I want to clarify this just a little bit, because it's easy to say, well, just be sanctified. Now, we understand sanctification is a lifelong process. You'll never just arrive. You're always going to be. But what does sanctification practically look like? Because those are the things that, like, we need to understand. So it's to be more like Christ every day. It's to suffer your flesh a little more every day. It's to be obedient to what you know to be true. Ooh, that's where it gets hard. Because I know that this is true, but now I have to live it? Yeah, if you're going to be in the will of God, then yes, you have to live and be obedient to the things that you know. It's one thing to be ignorant of something, but once you have the revelation of this is what the Word of God says about my life in this situation, and you choose not to do it, now you're being disobedient. Now you've stepped outside the will of God. Okay? If you're not doing at least this as a saved person, you're not walking in His will. That's just as simple as that. Okay, so that's the will of God. It's pretty simple. Be saved, be sanctified. Okay, what's the plan of God in my life? We've talked about this a lot of times in Past Point as well, too. And I think most of us have a pretty good grasp on this. So this is the individual things that the Lord has for each different person. As long as you're living in His will, it's going to look different for everybody, right? Some serve over here, some serve over there. Not everybody's going to be called to HBI, but some will. It's the plan of God for some people's lives. Not everybody's going to get married, but some will. Some people, in the plan of God for their life, it is to be married and to have kids and to raise them up. Some people, it's not. Okay, that's the plan of God is different for everyone as long as you're living in the will of God. Okay? Not everyone is going to go on a foreign mission trip. I think everybody should consider it, but some will. Okay? The plan of God is different for everybody. So, let's just make sure that we completely understand this, because I've explained this a lot of times. But I've never put it in these terms, and so I want to make sure that as a class, at times I don't do very good teaching. I try really hard not to preach, right? Because that's not what this is supposed to be. So let's make sure that we understand this. So I'm going to need an answer on these things, okay? And I think these are basic, but I want to make sure that we get them. So tell me if this is the plan of God or the will of God, okay? Someone getting saved, is that the plan or the will? That's the will of God, right? Which church you attend, what is that? That is the plan of God, right? Getting married versus being single, that's the plan of God. Being a godly wife or a godly husband, that's the will of God. Now, so that's where some people start getting it muddy. Being part of ministry in the church, I think that's the will of God because everyone is called to serve. I understand where you're coming from, though. No, you're right, because, no. As I'm writing these things last night, I'm like, well, somebody could probably justify the fact that that's not in the plan. And maybe you could. But I'm going to say around HBF, I would struggle to think that you could know that there's all this ministry going on and know that you shouldn't be a part of it. Now, maybe you can. And so that one could be a little bit muddy, right? But which ministry you're going to be a part of, that's definitely going to be the plan, right? Reading the Word of God, that's definitely the will of God. How much you read every day, where you read, that's definitely the plan of God, right? Everybody's going through different things. Okay, so I think we got a good grasp on that. We've already taught through that a lot of times. Where does the call of God come into play? Because this is where I've really struggled my entire Christian life, just really putting my finger on this. Because it's easy to say, well, it's this or it's that or it's circumstances. So let's just really try to nail down what is God's call in my life. So teaching point three. God's call is His way of revealing His plan to those who are living in His will. You know, we've talked a lot of these statements are going to sound redundant, but they're said a little bit differently. Because hopefully, one of them gets said in the way that you understand. Because they all kind of mean the same thing. But God's call is His way of revealing His plan to those who are living in His will. So, these are some ways that the call may come in your life. You know, I was really kind of praying through this and just... So obviously the Word of God can reveal God's call in your life. Obviously wise counsel can reveal the call. Leadership of the local New Testament church, you should always be able to trust in them. Open and closed doors. Notice I didn't start with open and closed doors because it's easy to be like, well, the door's open, I should have went. And if the door opens, that might be the beginning of you praying about what the call of God is, okay? You know, the Holy Spirit leading you in different ways. These are all ways that the Lord will confirm the call of God on your life at different times. So, here's some ways that you can confirm it. Because that's the ways that the call can come. But how do you confirm that? When you feel like, okay, I think God is really starting to call me. Because we all like to say, well, God's calling me over here. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. We want to be careful about playing the God card. Because once you play the God card, it's really hard for me to say, I don't really think that's what God's doing in your life. If that's what you say, then okay. Who am I to stand in the way of that? But if you play the God card and it's just for you to have an out, you'll have to answer for that. And so the point is, how do you confirm what you start to think is the call of God in your life? And these are some things that we see. Through prayer, obviously. You better start there. Through the Word of God, again. Through pastoral leadership. Through fasting and prayer. And some people are like, what? Fasting? Fasting doesn't always mean food, by the way, but it can. Okay? And, you know, fasting can be, you know, for hours. It doesn't have to be days. It can be days, you know. And so anyway, fasting and prayer. The point of fasting, by the way, isn't to, you know, bring some sort of extra holiness on your life. It is to just deprive yourself of something so that you can give wholly to prayer, okay? And so anyway, fasting and prayer is a way that you can, you know, circumstances being prayed over and confirmed. Think Gideon. You know, I always think of Gideon, and he has no faith when he's like, God, I'm going to put the fleece out, and if you really want us to go, here's what's going to happen. The fleece is going to be soaking wet in the morning, but all the grass is going to be dry. And then that happens, and he's like, okay. But just in case that was like a weird coincidence, here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to put it back out there tonight, and I want the fleece to be dry, but I want all the grass to be wet with the dew. And God's like, okay. And a lot of times I'm like, man, Gideon had no faith. But let me just tell you, sometimes when you feel like there's a really important call in your life and you're like, God, I really need an answer. Sometimes it's like, I'm going to lay out the fleece a few times and I really need you to confirm this one way or the other because I'm really struggling here, God, and I don't know what to do. And you know, so those are some ways that you can confirm God's call, okay? So let's look at, you know, preaching from the Word, by the way, hearing sermons. You know, if you feel like God's calling you, immerse yourself in the Word of God, people teaching the Word of God, things like that. So let's look what this looked like in Paul's life. Because I didn't just dream this whole let's talk about God's plan thing right now for whatever reason. Let's just look at why this is even getting talked about. Because something really crazy happens on Paul's second trip. Okay, and so let's just look at what this looked like and let's read through this, and we are going to be so not very far when we get done. So, but it is what it is. I have to work through this slow because if nothing else, this is for me to really understand and be able to articulate and grab a hold of what the call really is. Okay, Acts chapter 16. Let's just start in verse 1 to get our minds wrapped around it, and then we'll roll on down to verse 13. Then came he, so it's Paul and Silas, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Okay, so I'm going to read through this and just read it. And then after that, I'm going to slowly walk through the events, the places. Okay, so if you're trying to track it on the map, I'm going to slow down after I read through this and kind of explain what's happening. So he's well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And if you're like, why did he get circumcised? Go back and listen to last week, because I completely clarified that last week. I had to find something to teach other than this last week, so that's what we talked about last week. Okay, in verse 4, and they went through the cities and delivered them decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. Verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Verse 5 is a really sweet place to be in your Christian walk, in your local church. Verse 5 is just I read verse 5, and it's just one of those, it just makes you go, like, that's what it's supposed to be like. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Verse 6, this is when things start to change. They're traveling all through this, okay? Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. We'll circle back around and explain what that means in a minute. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to, I can't pronounce that, Samothracia, it's an island, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, from which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Okay. So let's just kind of walk through what just happened. Because a lot of things just happened in Paul's life. A lot of different things were happening. And I want to make sure that we understand what happened with Paul before we start to act like, okay, what does that have to do with us? Okay? And so let's just... I put a map on there. If you want to try to follow on the map, it makes sense. So they start in like the right side of the map, about three quarters of the way up, right? And so they're leaving Antioch. Okay, so that's where they start this trip. And so in verse 41 of the last chapter, it says that, you know, they were in Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. So they've now left on this trip. Now, Syria and Cilicia, those are like regions or countries. Those aren't specific towns. Sometimes when you read these things, we're like, that's a lot of different towns they went through. And so it kind of helped me to understand, like, some of these are regions and some of these are towns within those regions. And it kind of helps you understand what's going on. If you don't care, you don't care. That's fine. I'm just kind of giving you a rundown of, like, it makes sense as to what he's doing, what he feels like God has called him to do, and just being faithful, and then God being like, no, but you can't do that right now. And so... he's in Syria and Cilicia, and then in verse 1 of chapter 16, it says that, you know, they come to Derbe and Lystra. Those are actual towns. That's where he meets old Timothy, right? And in verse 2, Timothy is well reported of the brethren in Lystra and Iconium. So as you kind of follow what's going on there, and as he's moving along, Timothy's got a really good reputation in these towns. And then in verse 3, Paul circumcises Timothy. You can go back and see last week. It really has nothing to do with the call this week. And so... But this is that's kind of where we ended last week, okay? He circumcises Timothy, and then they're on their way. Verse 4. What's Paul doing? It says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them to the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. So in verse 4, basically what Paul is doing as he's going around the churches that he's already established on his first trip is he's going and telling the churches the decisions that were made at the Jerusalem Council. Remember when Paul like got drugged to the principal's office from Antioch, they had to go down to Jerusalem, and he had to explain, like, no, God's called me to the Gentiles. And what did they decide? They decided four things. We talked about them last week, right? You know, you have to abstain from idols. You have to abstain from fornication, from blood, and from... Man, what's the other one? That just dropped out of my brain. I'll think of it. Anyway, there's four things that they decided in the council. Like, as long as the Gentiles are keeping these things, they don't have to keep the law of Moses. It's not a big deal, right? And so that's what he's doing. He's going to these different towns that he's already been to. He's picked up Timothy along the way, and he's basically just telling people, hey, these are the things that were decided. Don't listen to any doctrine that they're coming saying you need to keep the law of Moses or be circumcised. Not like that. What you need to do is keep these things. And so that's what he's doing in verse 4. Verse 5, all I see in verse 5 is unity. Hallelujah. If all of our churches would be verse 5, by the way. You know, they were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Right? Verse 6, it says they moved through Phrygia and Galatia. These are regions again. Right? Phrygia is a region inside what the Bible calls Asia. So that's like even a little bit more confusing because we hear Asia and we think of modern day Asia. And it's close, but... what it is, you know, Phrygia is like a region inside of what we hear as Asia, okay? And for whatever reason, and we'll get more into this later, the Holy Spirit tells Paul, you're not going to preach the gospel to anybody in Asia. That's like telling a fish not to swim, by the way. That's all Paul does is preach the gospel. And he, for whatever reason, and we'll get to the details of that later, but he says, you can't preach to anybody in Asia. And then in verse 7, it says they come to Mysia. That's another region. And Paul had a desire to go to the region of Bithynia. He wants to go north, if you're following. He wants to go to Bithynia. Nobody's ever been to Bithynia. On his first trip, they didn't go there. And so now he's come to a place where he's like, if I can't preach the gospel in Asia, then I need to get somewhere where I can preach the gospel. Because I know what the call of God on my life is. And, you know, I know what God has told me to do, and it's to preach the gospel. So he's like, he gets all the way there, and he's like, I want to go to Bithynia. But this time the Holy Spirit doesn't even let them go there, let alone preach there. Now, without getting too much into this, because I haven't even got to the points yet, what do you think that's got rolling through Paul's mind? This is what I'm made to do. This is what God saved me to do. And now I can't do it? Now you're going to take that from me? Like, I thought this is what I was here for. I can't even imagine what's going through Paul's mind. I can't preach in Asia, so I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere completely new. And the Spirit's like, no, you can't even go there. You don't even get to see it. And then in verse 8, he's obedient. You know, it says they go through Mysia, that's another region, down to the city of Troas. And in verse 9, Paul gets what we now call the Macedonian call. You've probably heard that many times said. This is what we call the Macedonian call. In verse 9, it says, a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. And don't just come here, but help us. We are in desperate need of somebody that has what you have. Will you just come help us? And then in verse 10, Paul's plan has now changed because of God's call, but he never leaves God's will. The plan now changes because of God's call, but he never leaves God's will. And then in verse 13, 11 to 13, you know, it says that they sail to the island and, you know, whatever that place is called, I cannot pronounce that, and next to Neapolis, and then he goes to Philippi, and the rest is history, right? You know, he goes, he meets Lydia and the Philippian jailer. All these things happen later in the chapter. Okay, so this entire passage is amazing, just in history, okay? Of just watching how God is getting the gospel to all people everywhere, right? Just when you look at it and the fact that Paul has a plan, but God's like, no, my plan's bigger than your plan, and just... it's amazing just to see how God works through people's lives and ordains things to happen so that he can reach all people, okay? But let's figure out what the Lord has for us inside of it. Because it's one thing to be like, yeah, that's really cool that Paul got called. What does this have to do with us? And so I'm definitely not going to get through 3 points like I was hoping. So here's what I've got. I've got 7 biblical truths to help you understand the call of God in your life and in my life, right? And these are things that I feel like God has showed me right out of his word, right out of this passage. 7 biblical truths to help us understand the call of God in our life. We'll get through probably one of these, okay? And then we'll have to pick up next week. But this is really important because if we're going to be in the center of God's will, we're going to have to know how to answer the call. Okay? So, number one, we find this in verse 4. The call of God will reveal the plan of God to the believer who is currently walking in the will of God. Now, I feel like I kind of already said that earlier in one of the teaching points, but we need to make sure that, like, the call of God, it's going to help you understand the plan for your life, but it's only going to come if you're walking in the will, okay? And we have to understand that first. So we find Paul doing exactly what God has already told him to be doing, right? What is he doing? He's confirming, what's it say in verse 4? It says, they went through the cities, delivered the decrees for to keep that they were ordained to the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. So he's confirming the previously established churches. He's relaying the news of the Jerusalem council, the few things, like you don't have to keep the law of Moses. You don't have to be circumcised, just these few things, okay? Right? And I could take a guess and say that Paul's also probably sharing the gospel, right? He's probably preaching along the way because that's what Paul does, right? Some people you just know, like I know if they're, that's what they're going to be doing. Like that person's going to be doing this, right? Forrest Gump, if he's doing something, he's going to be running, right? There's just certain things you know about certain people, like that's what this person's going to be doing. Right? It's just, that's what they do. I could guess that as Paul's doing this, he's reaching new people along the way. He's establishing them in the churches, right? But what do you not notice him doing? This is almost as important. He's not trying to do anything different than what God has already told him to do. He's not out looking for some new revelation. He's not out like, well, this is, you know, I've done this, God, and I'm ready to try something new. I don't see that anywhere. He's just simply doing what it is that God's called him to do. And I think Paul would faithfully do it until the day of his death without ever questioning it. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. But it can become a comfortable thing. And when something becomes comfortable, don't be surprised when all of a sudden the phone starts ringing. Right? When the call of God starts coming. We'll get to that later. Teaching point number 4. God's call comes to those who are more concerned with being in God's will rather than those who are looking for a new plan. If you're like, man, I just really feel like it's time for something new. God, I need a call. I'm searching through the Bible, like, what's? I know where I can find a call in the Bible, right? I know some places that I can go, and God's call, it comes to those who are more concerned about just living His will than those who are looking for a new plan. So what about us? Are we more concerned with manipulating the plan of our life to fit our life, our lifestyle, over fulfilling the will through the plan He's already given you? Because that happens a lot of times in Laodicea. It happens a lot of times at HBF. It's happened in my life. Like, I'm not calling anybody out but myself. Like, do I try to change the plan just a little bit here and a little bit there to fit my lifestyle because it's easy and comfortable instead of just submitting and doing the plan that He's already clearly given me? Just do that. Like, we've talked about it for 2 years now. Everybody be. That's Past Point's theme. Everybody be what it is that God's called you to be. Or it's do what it is that God's called you to do so you can be what it is that He's called you to be. Right? If everybody would just do that, there would be so much peace. Like, this might sound harsh, but why would God call you to a new plan if you aren't being faithful and obedient to the plan He's already given you? I don't know. Why would He give you a new plan, a new call, if you aren't being faithful to what He's already given you? It'd be like getting a promotion at your job for not doing the one you already had. Hey, we want to move you up to the CEO. Really? I've called in sick every day for the last 3 weeks. Yeah, we really feel like this is really what you need. You couldn't do it there, but we feel like you could do it. Like, that would be the same thing. It would, and if you're being faithful to His call that you do know, then why not simply be content in the fact that you're right where He wants you to be right now? That's like the bigger question. Not only is like, why are you looking for something different, but like, why can't you just be content if God has said this, knowing that I'm right where God wants me to be? There are too many people that are out there looking for like, I just need out. I need something different. I need a new call. And like, it just blows my mind. You're right. Maybe it is the children's ministry. Maybe it is the whatever ministry. And you're just like, man, I feel like God's created me for something different. If that's what He's called you to right now, man, have peace that that's all He's called you to right now. And do that well. And just have peace in it. Because I'm telling you, it'll come. It will come. So just have peace and be content with where you're at. You're in the center of His will. A couple of verses and I'll be done with this point because I know we're out of time and some of you guys got to get to ministry. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is what? It's a great gain. If we can just be content with what He's already called us to do and live godly in that, man, there's great gain in that. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Stop looking for something that might be different or better. If He's called you to this and He hasn't called you to something different, man, have peace in the center of His will. Let me just ask you, and we'll just end with this because, you know, I guess one point's better than none. Are we content with the plan He has for our lives? And if not, let me just tell you, it's simply a heart problem. I don't know any other way to put it. If you are not content with the call that led to the plan that you have for your life right now, it's simply a heart problem. If you're looking for a new call but aren't being obedient to the original plan, don't be surprised if the phone's not ringing. Just don't be surprised. Now, we're going to find out very quickly, that's not where Paul was. Paul was content. I don't want to say comfortable, but maybe he was a little bit comfortable. And that's when God starts shaking things up. This is, I don't know, I understand everybody can't be here next week. You're going to have to get the recording. I really feel like God is, like, we need to understand this in our life. Because everyone is going to struggle with the call leading to the plan at different points in their life. And we've got to understand this. That's why I'm going so slow. That's why I really want to grasp this. So come back next week. Catch it next week. What happened in Paul's life is a perfect picture of what God will do in our lives. The question is discerning the call. How do you discern the call? So are we content with where He's got us right now? I guess that's all the question for today. We'll pick back up next week. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for being good to us. I thank you for your word. Lord, I wish I had more time. I wish we could just really sup with you and dive into this. But Lord, this is what you had for today. I pray that you would allow it to simmer in our hearts over this week and just give me even more clarity as we go back into it next week. I pray that you get the glory. I pray that this isn't manipulating or anything else, Lord, but we're just simply seeking what you have in Acts chapter 16 and applying it to, as we walk through our life, seeking to be in your will and follow the plan that you have for us, Lord. So I pray you just bless your word. Lord, get the glory for all of it. Thank you so much for the Passpoint class, Lord. I love these people and their families, and they really are family to me. So Lord, I pray you bless us in Christ's name. Amen.